I would like you to hear, now, she was gone 2 months, and I gave her 5 minutes. I said, you don't get to preach a sermon today, okay? But she was in Nigeria for 2 months, preaching the gospel, leading people to Jesus, healings, radio broadcast, the miraculous, the supernatural. She's a really, I mean, true missionary. Anybody, you ever take anybody to Nigeria with you?
Yes.
Anybody want to go to Nigeria? Did you ask the Lord about it?
No.
You better. I'm being a little facetious here, okay, but not too much, because there's coming the point as our church continues to grow and change and we get ready to expand more. What I want to do is, I really want to do some missions work. I want to do some missions trips. I want to take, personally, I want to take you to Mexico, which is where my heart is. Maybe Nigeria, maybe. But we've got some other areas with somebody in our church is connected with a missions outreach, go help them ministry, Samaritan type ministry, which I want to have him share about that coming up. Thank you, Michael. And we have more coming. So we just have a lot of stuff coming to our church, and I expect to expand and expand into this community, expand the kingdom of God and the knowledge of the kingdom of God into this community a whole lot more. But not just Ipsy, not just Ypsilanti, but way beyond here. I got a vision for a whole lot more than just doing church. And I think that you all do too, because this gospel of God's grace is too big to contain. It's too big to hold in and just make it just about us four and no more. Right? It's for everybody. And it's God working through us to reach this world around us in this really short time that we have. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
You're on the clock.
No pressure.
No pressure.
Praise the Lord. I really want to seize this opportunity to thank each and every one of you, Pastor Mike and Pastor Rose and the leadership of the church and everyone, for your generous support. It really means a lot, and your financial support goes a long way. I started mission in 2005, and I go to other African countries as well. But I also go to Nigeria every year since then. Mm. I usually do three things when I first started. I'll go into the inner cities, not the town where you have light and water. I go inside the, you know, local communities. And I had three types of meetings. I have town hall kind of meetings. I have what we call open air crusades, something 3-day open air crusades where the local communities will come around, usually come maybe between 200 to 500 people in any given day. Sometimes I have it for 4 days, sometimes I have it for 3 days. The town hall meetings, I move around from village to village in any locality that I operate that year. And the third one is identifying young widows, widows with young kids, helping them either support the existing businesses or help the ones who are not doing anything to start a new one. And we did that from 2005 to 2013. The Lord led me to register those widows in cooperative society kind of formats so that they can access some either government grants or other people being able to help them. And I didn't know God was about to transition me to a completely new format. In 2014, I got there, and the Lord led me to go to the radio. So the funds that we used to use for the widows and the open air crusades, because we rent canopies and stuff like that, now was directed towards the radio. So now I broadcast once a week in Imo State. It's a government-owned radio station. For two years, we were in five different states. So the meeting turned from those three formats now to targeting pastors. 2014, I also started conferences for pastors. It wasn't restricted to pastors only. However, majority of the people who get attracted to it because they heard me on the radio were pastors. So I will have between 30 to 75 pastors at any given conference.
How does that go with you teaching probably predominantly male pastors?
That's the pastors, right? Majority of them are male.
And they accept it, and they accept the message, and they accept you, correct?
Yeah. It's
good.
And I think that's the wisdom of God in sending me to the radio first. Mm-hmm. Because once I went to the radio and they loved the message, you know, so they forgot what was written on the messenger or the gender of the messenger. Yeah, because of course, one pastor, the first time they see me, it's like, oh, is it you? We've been hearing, you know. So I thank God for that. So now what we do, when I go now, it's still three kinds of things that I still do. I do the radio, I'll go to the radio station, record messages that will air for the next 1 year. Then I will have the conference. I first started with having a conference in one city, but now we have expanded to seven cities. And this is on demand. That is, the people are asking for the conferences.
Praise God.
My time is up.
Can you wrap it up?
Yes. Yes. The highlights of this meeting, apart from people being saved, people being filled with the Holy Spirit, and also being healed. Two things. One, pastors themselves being the ones to pray for people, because I will call them out, and after teaching, say, who is ready to be used to heal, to deliver, to set free? And pastor, this year, we had a 71-year-old pastor. I have the testimony in this flash drive. He has pastored for 45 years. And this is the first time he's actually laying hands on someone and seeing that person healed.
Praise God.
Instantly. His testimony is that, you know, his ministration has changed forever. That from now it will be more practical. Praise the
Praise
Lord.
God.
And the second one is, I want to call it, I was sharing with Pastor Sean earlier. You know, we have revelation knowledge that comes from God. Mm-hmm. But we also have revelation that comes from comprehension of the Word of God. Comprehension, which borders on understanding the English language in which the Bible is written. So one of the things I have observed is that a lot of these ministers really need help to be able to read and understand the Bible better. Mm-hmm. We started a Bible study group, but I know that God is leading me to something bigger.
Amen.
Praise Jesus Christ. So I thank you for your support, and I thank you for your prayers.
Praise God. You did good, Ifoma. She did a good work. She does a good work down there. How do you all survive without her for 2 months. Must be grace. Must be grace, right? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The title of this series we started last week is called The Journey. The Journey. And this is something the Lord has been putting on my heart for a long time. But you know, after you do so many funerals and you do so many weddings and you do so many prayers for people and you walk people through in their lives, you do so much counseling, you think, you know, you begin to understand that this life is, we talk about this, but I don't think we really get it. This life is a journey. Some are short. Some journeys are short. And some are longer. But it is a journey. And it's how we walk this journey through that is a key part of our lives. This is, I'm talking about for Christians. Born again believers. Spirit-filled. Understanding the grace of God, because this is a grace teaching church. And when I just, because we have some new people here today, when I say grace teaching, I want you to understand that grace means God's favor. But it also goes beyond this. It is God's ability, God's strength, God's capability to do everything that we cannot do for us, working in us and through us. Grace, this message of the gospel is God's grace to us, but not just to us, this is to the whole world if they want it. And it is through Jesus. It's the only way. So we are a grace teaching church, a grace equipping church, and getting this understanding of how the promises, how the word of God, how the reality of his grace, how all these things work and they click in our lives. Because you can teach us and teach us and teach us and teach us, but until we get it, until the light bulb clicks on, until the switch gets flipped, until it's all of a sudden in our hearts, we get it, and we grab a hold of it, and boom, we got it. You know, things begin to change. And it is the reality of the truth of the word of God that takes place in our lives. It is all those good things. It is all those promises. It is all that reality. That's what we're looking for. But it's getting that download into us so we get it. This journey in what we're on is a walk with the Lord. The whole world, every person that's born, really wants to know, whether they accept or understand this or not, at some point in their lives, they want to, and it transfers to us the more when we get born again, they want to know God. Now, people get derailed for all kinds of reasons. People want to know God and to walk with him. That's what we're created for. To know God and to walk with him. That's the basis of this whole journey into the remainder of our eternal life, which is the forever part. It's from here and now to forever. To know God and to walk with him. In Psalm 25, verse 4, Psalm 25, verse 4. David, King David of Israel, he got it. He understood it. It clicked. He said, "Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Show me your ways and teach me your paths." This is the cry of his heart. Now, King Saul, the one preceding David, he didn't get it. And his life crashed and burned big time. David got it. And he's got a legacy that lives and will live forever. "Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths." This journey has one of two paths, and we choose it. It is the path of righteousness, or the path of, let's call it godliness, or the path of doing things, living out this understanding of the truth of the word and who's in us, doing this God's way, or it's the path of the way the world says. It's a path of whatever the world says. It's a path of do it yourself. It's a path of I'll do it my way. It's a path of I don't want you in your way, God. I want my way. There's only two paths. David chose his path. Now, when we get born again, and hopefully baptized in the Holy Spirit, and come to an understanding of God's grace, he sets us on the path of righteousness. We're there because we've been made already the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You can't lose this. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, no matter what you say, no matter what sin you did, you can't lose it. You can't lose, like losing your keys, your salvation. Because your spirit, you can sin in your mind. You can sin with what you do. You can sin with what you say. You can sin with what you think. But you can't do this in your spirit. Because the part of you that lives forever has been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. That part cannot sin. That part is righteous forever. So God takes us when we get born again and sets us on this path of godliness. Now it's up to us to choose to walk this path, to get stuck on the path someplace, to go off the path. But you know what? Ultimately, your spirit stays born again, stays new, stays sinless. Going off the path, getting stuck, not moving, invites consequences into our lives, negative consequences and things that hurt us. But walking this path and traveling this path of righteousness, the longer we go, the farther we go, the better it gets. And it's always a choice, every time, to stay on this path. It's one step at a time, one step at a time, one step at a time, till our last breath. Because in this path are all the benefits and all the promises and all the blessings. And I'm not saying it's always easy, because it isn't. It is not the path of least resistance, but it is the path of growing up and maturing and growing past where we were, gaining wisdom and understanding and knowing how to apply the word and see results. That's staying on the path. Amos chapter 3 verse 3. Amos 3 verse 3 says, "Can two walk together unless they are agreed?" Wow. Okay, so I'm on this path, but I'm not on this path alone. I'm on this path with Jesus. I'm on this path with the Holy Spirit inside of me. God is in me, and I'm on this path of righteousness. Okay, do I want to keep going or do I not? It's always my choice. Do I want to stay on the path or do I want to veer off for a while? Do I want to invite consequences and struggles and hard times? Or do I want to grow up, and do I want to walk into the promises? Do I want to see God by faith bring me through all the stuff that comes to everybody? Do I want that? Yeah, that's what I want. I want to stay on the path of righteousness. I could so easily, I'm going to tell you this, I could so easily, here's the reality. Just dealing with the township, this is just one thing, dealing with the township. I could so easily have said to the contractor, and he said it, he counseled me. He said, just ask for forgiveness later. He's a Christian. That's no negative on him, but he says it's always easier that way. And you know what? And I kept feeling this. And I'm going, shh, stop, get back. Go. No, I'm not literally doing this, but I'm saying, I just want to just do it. Let's just get it done. It was a fight to stay on the path of righteousness. And I went to the township and they turned us down flat cold. And my flesh was not happy because things got harder and costlier. and more time-consuming, more complicated, more involved, more tangled. And I said, man, Lord. And I told the township, right even to the supervisor, I said, I'm not going to do this any other way but what is legal and right. Period. I had a choice to make. I'm either going to walk righteously, I'm going to walk on the path of righteousness, I'm going to do it this way, or I am not. It's one or the other. So, God's got the way to do this, and God provided us somebody who I believe is going to take us through this. Now, that being said, can two walk together unless they be agreed? Are we going to agree to walk this path of righteousness with Jesus or not? Can two walk the path together? Can two walk a path together unless they be agreed? Is a lot of times we use this in a wedding, in a ceremony, and it really is saying, listen, you got to be the same mind, the same heart in what you do. You got to be committed in this, because everything in the world is coming against you to pull you apart, to make you take two different paths in your wedding, in your marriage, in your lives together, in your family. Everything is coming against you except the Lord, and He's on your side. Being agreed is it really means in the Hebrew like a betrothal. It's, I've made a commitment to do this with you, and I'm not going off. And so, Lord, you and me together are going to walk this path of righteousness, and even when I don't see the end, I don't see the way, I don't see the means, you're going to get me through. Period. That's where my faith is. And you think your faith won't get tested, it will. But you're agreed, betrothed, committed to walking this path with Him. And staying on the path of righteousness. Now, I said in the beginning of this series, I said we're going to address some things over the next few weeks that don't get touched. A lot of times in grace teaching. Here we go. The pull of the world. The title of this, by the way, is Not Like Us. Not Like Us. The reason I have this title is because we are different. We are different. Every single thing in this culture, in the world today, in America, on the internet, and social media, worldwide, the intent of it is to pull you off the path of righteousness. Just get you started in a different kind of belief or a different feeling or a different understanding, just to get you started. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 16 and 17, and I'm going to go quickly. Matthew 11, verses 16 and 17 says, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, but to what shall I liken this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to their companions and saying, we played the flute for you and you did not dance. And we mourned to you, and you didn't lament. They're saying, man, we played the horn for you. Come on. Come on, you disciples. Come on, you born-again Christian. We played the horn for you, and you didn't join in. And we mourned with you, and you didn't join in. You weren't like us. You didn't do like us. You didn't handle it like us. You didn't live like us. You didn't walk the same way we walked. What's up? And that's what he's pointing out. Because the idea and the ideal of everything today to a greater degree than has ever been before is to get us to move off this path of righteousness. Now, there are grace teachers who teach you can do anything you want, which we can. We can do anything we want, but why would you? You can. Under grace, you can do anything you want. Is your spirit still saved? Uh-huh. You still going to heaven? Uh-huh. Going to hurt you a lot while you're here. Going to hurt a lot of others. Why would you want to live that way if you totally, truly understand the grace of God? Everything is meant to bring you into a worldview, or what the world views as right and as normal and as truth, everything. Political correctness is the driver. Social media is the backbone. Whatever political correctness says is right, according to whatever the culture is at that time, because it's like walking on Jell-O. You never know. It changes daily. Political correctness says it's not okay to be against abortion. Political correctness says that's a woman's right. Political correctness says everybody has a choice and is encouraged to pick the gender of their choice. Political correctness has all kinds of stuff. There's some good things about political correctness. But political correctness on the whole is a religion in and of itself. Political correctness is man's invention into trying to respect or bring respect to people. It does not work. Political correctness doesn't change the heart. Political correctness is the world trying to draw us in. And I'm not all against. This isn't a tirade about political correctness. I want you to understand it's to take you off the path of righteousness, because the Word of God has not changed in what is right, what is godly, and what is wrong, and what is unrighteous. It doesn't mean that you don't love people. Man, there's been Christians who have used the grace of God to spread hatred and a lack of respect to people, to spread bigotry and racism. Really? Yes, really. And yet, if you understand the grace of God and the reality of what this is, and that's why we have these grace classes, then it is the righteousness of God that gives more dignity, more respect, more love, more care, more equality, more understanding to people than political correctness and social media ever could. But because that's God's way, God's intent, but it's His way, and it's the way of righteousness. And this is what God is trying to get into us, and the world's trying to say, that doesn't work, come over to us. Don't do that. I want to read out of the Passion Bible for a moment. Paul, grace preacher, greatest grace preacher in understanding, said, Second Corinthians chapter 14, I'm going to start. Don't continue to team up with unbelievers in mismatched alliances. For what partnership is there between righteousness and rebellion? Who could mingle light with darkness? What harmony can there be between Jesus and Satan? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What friendship does God's temple have with demons? For indeed, we are the temple of the living God, just as God has said, I will make my home in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, they will be my people. For this reason, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. The world is not like us, and we are not like them. He says, touch nothing that is unclean, and I will embrace you. I will be a true father to you. You will be my beloved sons and daughters, says the Lord Yahweh Almighty. Here's where it comes down to us. What is permissible to me, what I accept, what I participate in, what I agree with, that is not the righteousness of God, takes me off the path. Whether I'm thinking it, whether I'm feeling it, I'm not saying it, but whether I'm doing it, whatever it might be, whatever I align myself with that is not the righteousness of God, and what the Word says is the righteousness of God takes me off this path of righteousness into consequences, negative consequences, not good things. Hurts me. I always have a way back onto the path of righteousness, and it's called repentance. It means I change the way I think. Okay, I'm thinking wrong here about bypassing the township to get our parking lot. I'm thinking wrong. Lord, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me, Lord? Of course you will. But thank you for your forgiveness. Lord, I need to think in a righteousness path on this. You said submit to the governing authorities over you. Okay, then I will do this. And we'll do it your way. When I align myself, my heart, my thoughts, my words, my actions with the world, it pulls us over to the dark side. It really does. And it could be just a little thing. You know, a little leaven leavens the whole lump, right? So if I'm thinking that it's okay, some of these things that are, the world says is okay, it's okay to have a practicing homosexual pastor. I'm sorry. No, that is unrighteousness. It is not grace. It's just unrighteousness. Rosie and I have friends, and they're not even in this country. And their pastors and their worship leader is living with somebody. They're leading worship in the Holy Spirit. And they're just living with somebody. And it's okay to them. I'm sorry. It's a path of unrighteousness. And it affects the church. Don't get me wrong. Somebody comes in here struggling with homosexuality or in a relationship, please come on in. I love you. I welcome you. I'm going to give you all the respect and the dignity as a human being. But I'm going to tell you, you know, you got a choice. It's just a choice. God's got better.
Yes,
you may not understand it right now, but God's got, if you'll just hear, God's got better for you. We'll love you, care about you, want to see you have everything he's got for you. I'm just going to tell you the truth. You know why? The Jesus in me wants better for them than to just tolerate where somebody's at. If we're going to speak the truth in love, then let's speak the truth, but let's do it in love. That's the righteousness aspect. That's staying on the path. And it is not hatred, and it is not being against people, and it is not coming against people, and it is not any of those things. I hate that stuff. But man, we're either going to walk in righteousness and on this path, or we're not. And the whole thing about being a pastor is this fine line we walk between what we tell people to help them and not hopefully rescue them, but not try to make their choices for them. Because everybody has a choice. I want those struggling with homosexuality and transgenderism. I want them to come in. I want them to come in. I want those struggling with different areas of life. I want them to come in. I want the addicts to come in. I want them to come here. Because I want them to hear the truth of what Jesus has done for them. And they can have. And how their life can go skyrocketing. So the whole world, the draw, the pull, is to take us and soften unrighteousness and ungodliness and draw us in and say, it's okay, the culture's changed. You know, I keep hearing this in my head. I like sci-fi. If you've ever watched Star Wars, and I don't know that there's anybody that hasn't, I always get this picture of Darth Vader
Luke, it's your destiny. The world says it's our destiny to change and change to fit the culture that is. And it is not. It is our destiny to walk the path of righteousness and the culture of righteousness and affect the world for their salvation, for their hope, for their future.
First Corinthians 15, verses 33 and 34 says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake, come out of," he's speaking to the church, the Grace Church, "come out of the stupor that you've been in the Greek, to righteousness. Wake up and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame." Romans 13, verse 12 says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness or unrighteousness and put on the armor of light." Righteousness is protective. Armor is protective. Righteousness is protective. Don't blend with the culture. The culture is not your friend. The current culture and the way social media dictates how you should live as a Christian, that is not your friend. They are not your friend. They are not helping you. Staying on the path of righteousness activates the power of God's grace in our lives. It activates His favor toward us. Here's a perk. Proverbs 13, verse 21. "Evil pursues sinners," or those live in the path of unrighteousness. "But to the righteous, good shall be repaid," or recompensed, or rewarded. This is real. This path of righteousness is something we do because we want to. We're not under the law. We don't have to do this. We don't have to do it. But it's something that, because our hearts have changed in knowing what Jesus did for us, I mean, in reality, I want to walk this way with Him. I want to be committed this way to Him. I want my life to be a light to the world. I want my decisions to confound them. And they go, "What's up with you?" Well, let me tell you about Jesus and what He did in my life and why I'm doing this way. Because it's great. No, it's not always easy, but it's awesome. How do you stay on a path? This is it. How do you stay on a path of righteousness? You have to decide to do it. It has to be a choice every single step, because you're going to have all kinds of things. How many things on the internet are going to pull your thoughts? How many things on Facebook are going to pull your thoughts? How many things on television are going to pull your thoughts and get you to think about and really entertain and really maybe align with something that is ungodly or unrighteous? It ain't good for you. It's not going to be a blessing. Choose to make the change in your thinking and pursue the path of righteousness. David said, "Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths." That was his heart. That should be our heart. James 1, verse 22 says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only." Doers of the word and not hearers only. Every single thing in the Word of God is about living out the righteousness that's in us. Everything. For our benefit
for the world around us and not being pulled in to the world. We are not like them. And we're never going to be like them. And they're not going to be like us unless we can convey the truth of Jesus Christ and His righteousness to them, which is far and above, way better than political correctness or anything man can come up with. Amen? Would you stand with me, please? We got to wrap. If you think you can't do this, that it's too hard, and you're stuck in a trap, pornography, or how about smoking pot? Pot's legal. Pot's legal now in Michigan. Okay, great. Follow the laws of the land and the governing authorities. I'm going to smoke pot. Is it righteous? It's a subject for another time. But no, it's not going to help you. No, it's not going to do you good. Is it a moral thing? Comes down to it. There's so many things. Be a doer of the word of righteousness, not just a hearer. If you think you can't do it, then you're denying the truth of the reality of what the Lord says. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, not myself, through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Hallelujah. Prayer team, come on up, please. If you need to be, you know what, you need to receive the healing that God's already had for you. If you need a breakthrough in prosperity, if you need a breakthrough in a job, if you need a breakthrough in a relationship, if you need an answer, you need an explanation about something, if you need anything, God's got it for you. All your needs are supplied according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's given by grace when you got born again. And would you come on up right now? Just come on up. Because these people, full of faith, will just get it done with your faith. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for today, for this church, this incredible body of believers, for all you're doing in their lives, that your grace is taking place in their lives to a far greater degree. Thank you for blessing them and honoring every one of them, helping them to stay, all of us, me too, Lord, on the path of righteousness in everything we do and say and think and feel, everything, and glorify you. Because we want to, because we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everybody.